Let's bow our heads and pray for God to enlighten us to his holy word this morning. Dear Lord, we rejoice in this season of anticipation as we remember your promises and look forward to ways that you reveal yourself to us. May your presence be real to this congregation this morning, and may this hour be meaningful to us and pleasing to you. Amen. I invite you now to read along with me or simply listen to the word of our Lord. It's recorded today in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 6, and then from the Gospel of John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. The prophet Isaiah is speaking here. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And then from the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' For the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Dear friends, the good news of the gospel is that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord will last forever. And this is the word of our Lord. A couple of weeks ago, when we last visited, I spoke about Jesus having one foot in heaven and the other on earth. He actually said in John chapter 8, verse 23, he said, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world." But yet while he lived on our earth, he enjoyed his time here. And I think today we need to keep a balance also. We need to enjoy our time here, but yet be ready for our permanent home in eternity. Well, this morning, in keeping along the same lines of heaven and earth, I invite you to imagine the image of the heavens meeting the earth. Have you ever wondered what the prehistoric man and woman thought as they roamed our area and gazed toward the Blue Ridge and Allegheny Mountains and saw the edge? You know, they could see the tip of the mountains as they appeared to touch the sky. Do you think that they thought they lived in a big bubble, or the mountains secured themselves to the sky? Even today, it kind of looks that way, doesn't it? Or at the beaches where the sky seems to touch the edge of the ocean. And it's no wonder that the early people thought that the earth was flat. And even as late as the 15th century, during the time of Christopher Columbus, most people thought that he and his crew were just going to plain fall off the edge of the earth if they went out too far. And as he began his historic journey, of course, he survived to tell all about that. Well, here in the valley, here in the Shenandoah Valley, we can look over at the Blue Ridge or the Alleghenies during the day, and we can see where the heaven seems to dip to the earth below until they and the earth are one. And even so, back in the 1930s, when the road on top of the Blue Ridge Parkway was carved out for the mountain, for people to visit and see the valley down below, the natives called the road, of course, the Skyline Drive, where the sky meets the land and where the heaven rests on the earth. And during this Advent season, we'll simply call it the Christmas horizon. And we call it that because Christmas gives us a similar view, I think, except there's a new horizon. And in a far more personal and wondrous way, heaven breaks out onto the earth at Bethlehem. Our God has come down from his heavenly throne to our world of sod and lakes and oceans and paved streets and taxes and governmental censuses and wanted and unwanted pregnancies and homelessness and political leaders who are only concerned about their poll results and where babies live and babies die. And heaven is no longer just far away. It's not clear up there, while earth is separate and down here. At Christmas, during the Advent season, we know that there's a link, there's a union, an involvement between God and humankind. And ever since Christmas in Bethlehem, it's hard to know if God is way up there or right down here, because he literally has touched earth. The Christmas horizon, though, is much more than the nature's wonder. It's far more personal than that. First of all, the Christmas horizon is really it's a personal visitation. You know, so oftentimes people think that the center of Christmas is a visit from relatives and friends. Okay, and you know, sure, that's part of it. Good fellowship is always part of the Christmas message. But the heart of Christmas is Emmanuel. God is with us. One writer says at Christmas, God pitched his tent among us. Jimmy Stewart, not that Jimmy Stewart, but the Scottish preacher Jimmy Stewart, said God came down the stairs of heaven with a child in his arms. The Gospel says of John says about Jesus, the Word of God became a living person and dwelt among us. And that's a miracle. And it happened in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Isn't that great? And then for 33 years, our Lord Jesus Christ served and healed and loved. He knew the joys of our lives. And he also knew the sorrows too. He bent low to die for humankind. And then he rose again from the dead to new life on our behalf. Soren Kierkegaard, the Danish philosopher, used a story to tell of God's visitation. It's a great parallel. It goes like this. Once upon a time, there was a prince, and this prince was very eager to find a young maiden for his future queen. And this prince used to ride his carriage through the streets. And one day, while he was riding through the street, he came upon a rather poor section, and he spies this beautiful woman. And after that, he would plan to pass by that neighborhood in order to see her more often. However, the prince had a problem. How is he going to move to ask for her hand? Well, he could order her to the palace and then propose marriage, overwhelm her. But even a prince wants to be loved freely. Or perhaps he could arrive at her home in a resplendent uniform and with a bow ask for her hand. But even a prince wants to be loved for something more than money or position. Or perhaps he could masquerade as a peasant and try to gain her interest. And then after he proposed, he would take off his mask. But still, that would be phony. So finally, this prince reaches a solution. He could give up his kingly robe and move into her neighborhood. And there he would take up work as a carpenter. And during his life there, he would get acquainted with the regular fashion with the people. He would talk their language, he would feel their pain, know their joys, and their heartfelt concerns. And in due time, should the plan be sound, he would come to meet her naturally. And should she come to love him, then he would ask for her hand. And this he did. And when she did come to love him, he told her who he really was. Such a beautiful, simple story, and one that really needs no interpretation at all. The Word became flesh, a human being, and dwelt among us. A personal recognition. Are we okay with that? Secondly, this morning, I think the Bethlehem horizon is a personal communication. God has said the last word, the final word, about his love in Jesus. You know, he spoke through nature, the heavens and the earth, declared the glory of God. He created incredible beauty in mountains and oceans and the fruited plains. Yet nature, for all of its beauty, nature didn't have any arms. And we did not understand. And then he spoke through the prophets of the Old Testament, like Isaiah that we read a few minutes ago. And these people, man, these prophets came to beg and shout about God's love and justice. But again, we did not understand. And then comes Christmas with that incredible communication. Do you know how hard it really is to communicate with each other clearly sometimes? I once knew a lady who finished every thought by asking, "Do you know what I mean?" It was very annoying. And I had to say that quite often I had no clue whatsoever what she was talking about. Communication. Down through all of history, God was telling us that he loved us, and he was asking us to love him and to serve him. But we couldn't always understand the words of the prophets and the seers and the poets and the lawgivers. And so, friends, God wrapped up his truth about himself in swaddling clothes and in a person with flesh and bones and blood in him. So that God is like Jesus, and the godly person is like Jesus. If we can say that God is like that, I will serve him till I die. And if a person can be like that, then that's the kind of person that I will strive to be. Emily Dickinson wrote in her diary of, quote, "the hazy oblong blur which my parents worship and call God." Isn't that sad? Well, with Bethlehem, that becomes nonsense. Because God has put his name on someone concrete and real. William Gladstone said, "One example is worth a thousand arguments." And that's true. And we have it on the Bethlehem horizon. The Christmas horizon says that God touches earth and communicates who he is and what he calls us to be. Now, there's one last meaning of the Christmas horizon. The Christmas horizon means visitation and communication, but it also means human dignity. And because God revealed himself through a human being, our human nature has dignity and value. Again, the gospel writer said the Word became a living person. And that's the greatest compliment the human race has ever received. So never mind about those people who say that our human flesh is evil. Bethlehem says, nah, that's foolishness. Never mind those who say, or when they wish to explain ugliness in our world, and they simply say, yeah, that's human nature. Never mind those who degrade and negate and denounce our human race. Of course, there's sinfulness in us. There's a lot of that going around. But friends, there's also glory. There's also wonder. And there's also that special gift of God, which each of us has and each of us is. Philip Brooks, looking at Christmas, could say in 1884 to a graduating class at Harvard, he said, "The first secret of all effective and human and happy living is a true reverence for the mystery and greatness of your human nature and for the things that you and your brethren are in simply being men and women." End quote. It was our human nature that God used to make his way into life. And if that be so, who can despise it? Instead, we must keep it holy and pure. At Christmas time, we need to honor our dignity as human beings. Remember, the message came to poor, plain, uneducated shepherds out there in the fields, not to PhDs. So during the Advent season, we honor the bricklayers who build our buildings, and first responders in a crisis, and caregivers, and the mother rearing her children as some modern Mary, and the banker, and the farmers, and the counselors, and the waitress. Here is humanity with eternity in her soul. Or why else would God enter life as a human being? You know, I never cared much for Bette Midler's politics. You know, she's one of those crazy actresses out in California. But I've always enjoyed her music. Several years ago, she recorded a song that we played a lot on the radio, and you probably remembered. It's called "From a Distance." Remember that one? Yeah, it's a catchy tune. But every time I've ever heard the chorus repeated over and over again, I always want to shout, "No, no, absolutely no." It goes, "God is watching us, God is watching us, God is watching us from a distance." Well, Christmas says that God has never been simply watching us from far away. He's down to earth. He is by us. He is alongside us. He's in our stables. He is Emmanuel. He is with us. Difference God stooped so low at Christmas, so that we might be raised so high to be called the children of God. Only in Christ is there dignity enough in our humanity which is worth keeping today. And the other side of eternity too. For in our living person, he has put eternity. The Christmas horizon. From here, we can see the horizon at Bethlehem. But if we stand at Bethlehem, we'd find that the horizon appears to be right here in Augusta County. For the Christmas horizon is unlimited and says today, and it says always, that God is visiting, God is communicating, God is conferring dignity upon us all. God is watching us here on earth. And the Word became a living person and dwells among us. Amen.